Live from Josh's basement, we're at Hard Talk Hot Podcast. And you're on. Take it away, Jordan.
Okay, everyone. Whoa. Yoel's back.
So that's how it's going to be.
That's the payback.
That was actually good.
Welcome, everybody, to the Hard Talk Podcast. I am your host, Jordan. I am here with...
This is Josh.
Yoel.
Welcome back, Yoel.
Thanks, man. Appreciate being here.
Yoel was honestly almost not here. Okay, so we'll go right to it. Yoel had his payback. I'll get ours. Some quotes from Yoel today, or from yesterday. I'm not attending tomorrow, as you two need to serve your punishments. Enjoy. Sally, you're going to learn the hard way. I have nothing to gain by showing up tomorrow. I will not be in attendance this evening. Josh, thoughts?
Fair to say that's an L.
As he's saying, Yoel, as and you are right here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Out of protest.
Still here. I was actually, the plan was to daven together, and then we'll meet afterwards, and then I decided I will not show up, and I gave you guys 7 hours warning, but I have a man of integrity, and I'm not here for the show. I'm just here for my friends.
Well, we're happy you're here.
I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to fill this seat because I listened to the last pod. It was excellent information. Just sadly, I didn't laugh at all. So,
life isn't always funny.
No, it's not. There were some good parts in the beginning. The other information was very useful. There were many times where I was listening where I wanted to jump in.
What would you have said? Like, jumping
in? I know. He would have said, when Sheldon said he went to the yeshiva, he would have talked about the basketball team.
Right.
Possibly.
Who was on the team then?
Right. Yeah. Who was on the team? Who's
coaching? Names. Was it still Shaffle?
You had a question about something on the menu or off the menu?
I actually spoke with my great friend, Aaron Gorenstein, over the weekend. And he mentioned his parents actually used to dine there often and used to make them a special pizza. I don't know what the pizza was. And Aaron also mentioned he used to golf often with him. He's a big golfer.
With Sheldon?
With Sheldon.
Very nice.
Big golfer.
We did not know that.
I was always curious. There was like a ripped up dollar bill. And it was on like the horns of like a deer antler or something like that, like one of the bottles. So I was always curious about that dollar bill. And if you could, it was there for like years, like 7 years. I was always like curious about that dollar bill.
Think about how much better the pod would have been if we would have asked that question.
I know, I would have asked. There probably was a story about the dollar bill.
Probably. Right. I do want to say,
Jordan, I think we need a part two just to answer these questions.
I have many more questions also.
Well, I do want to say that Sheldon did want to express, right, that he wanted to thank the community. He didn't feel he did a sufficient job of thanking the community, so he wanted me to express his great gratefulness and thank the community for 35 years of loyal patronage. He also wanted to thank the CRC for all their work in helping him stay certified for all those years.
See, also what I think you guys missed, as you guys recall, you know, during COVID, when like The Last Dance came out and like everyone like looked forward, like that was like the 90s and everyone from Chicago like literally like relive the 90s. I mean, the 90s in Chicago was like you go to a Bulls game and that, or you go to like a movie and then you go to Slice Life. Like that was the 90s. And like, I don't think that you guys really gave it, you know, what it deserved, because it really was the place in the 90s. During then, that was like the place to be. There was always lines. And I know he mentioned, you know, the first night when they had the soft opening. But there was always lines. You couldn't get a table. And Sally couldn't play with a credit card. Although my parents never gave me a credit card, so it didn't really make a difference.
Here we go. Okay. I want to read a reader email. We have an ad later, but I do have a reader email. Okay.
Music for this?
Sure. Hi, guys. I'm loving your podcast. As a close relative to one of your participants, I feel like a fly on the wall. Keep up the good work. I'm learning a lot. How nice is that?
That's a great email.
Did you read this one before?
I did not.
Are we sure?
That one is from Malki Chaitovitz Goldberg.
Wow. A big fan, apparently.
Big fan. Learns a lot.
Oh, did I say Chaitovitz? I meant Chaitovsky.
Chaitovsky, yes.
My bad.
Chaitovsky.
Which is really nice to hear. It sounds like people in your family really appreciate the podcast.
They do. They learn a lot about me because they didn't really learn a lot about me, you know, raising me for 18 years.
Right.
Or 19 years.
Okay. You went to Israel when you were 17.
I was, yes, but I got married at 19.
Okay. So, Yoel, you were in Israel, so tons of people are asking, what were you doing there? What was it like? Tell us about your experience.
It was actually a very unique experience. Around a decade or so that we've been going to, you know, to Israel probably a couple times a year, visiting my in-laws. They were in Yerushalayim, so we've always been going there, and it's always, you know, based upon, you know, visiting, you know, my in-laws. Unfortunately, the last number of years and, you know, recent death of my father-in-law, we actually didn't even go to Yerushalayim. So, like, I felt like we just went from the airport to a hotel in Netanya. So I almost felt like, you know, like Jordan's trip to Israel, like when he doesn't make it to Jerusalem, you know, like he doesn't go to the Kotel or any like the holy places or yeshivas and all that. So like,
I do.
I felt like it was like a cross between like Europe, Morocco, and like Miami. I mean, it was like Mediterranean vibes, as Jordan would say.
projecting a little bit.
Yeah.
Cool, chill vibes.
Cool, chill vibes. But it was, I loved it there. It was beautiful, but I was only there for 2 days. So a beautiful wedding. And it was also amazing that just the wedding I was at. I mean, you look at the, you know, the different weddings and you go, you know, online, you see, you know, Birch or these other companies or Heshy J Scoop. Shout out.
I have no idea what that is.
Neither do I.
Sad. anyway, so, you know, these big event planners and the way they decorate the rooms with plants and all that, and they just have these halls, like, middle of, like, industrial areas, which they have it, like, all built in. It was beautiful, but just, like, fraction of the price. But it was a great wedding. It was nice not having to drive afterwards and enjoy myself.
We did talk about that, the fact that I'm of the opinion that these weddings in Israel, wherever you get married, I mean, I had a Rebbe when I was in yeshiva whose kid got married on some random kibbutz. And it was nicer than whatever five-star hotel. Just being there, the environment, the scenery, the country, it's just beautiful.
It's also a lot cheaper, probably.
Yeah, you guys are so stuck on the price here. I'm just talking about the ambiance.
Speaking of price, I still want to know about that dollar. What was going on in Slice Life?
We'll save it for the sequel.
For the sequel, yeah.
No, but it was beautiful. It was beautiful to go. I mean, unfortunately, I was only there for 2 days. But it was literally a trip I haven't, like, when I landed in Israel, I almost felt like I didn't have any sort of, like, obligations to do. And I just felt like I was almost there, like, on a vacation, just there to go to a wedding, to enjoy with family, you know.
Did you feel perhaps an obligation to go to the holy city of Jerusalem?
I did not.
No.
I've spent many of times there. I've gone, all the time. You know,
many times this year.
Yes, I've been there multiple times this year.
So it's amateur hour to go back.
It is amateur hour to go back to Jerusalem. It was very interesting, although I was, you know, close to your stomping grounds in Bnei Brak, but I did not go there, and I just, stayed out in Netanya.
So you enjoyed. You enjoyed the trip.
Well, unfortunately, you missed some monumental things back in Chicago because we did drop a huge episode. And Josh, what's the reaction been like?
I got to tell you, Jordan, it's been pretty positive. I feel like people really got to know Sheldon as a person, not only the guy they saw at the restaurant, but kind of, you know, how he started, you know, how the restaurant was so successful and ultimately, unfortunately, how it closed.
Some people say it was their favorite episode.
I'd say most people say that.
Yeah. The numbers are off the charts.
That's not surprising.
I would like to read a
line. I would like to read. Phone.
Yes. I would like to read a line or three lines actually that was written in our little private chat. Listening to podcasts now, love this stuff. Although stuff was spelled wrong. It said, love this tough. And then it said, cool, Yol is the worst. Care to elaborate, Josh?
I do not, actually. Because
Jordan?
I cannot break confidentiality.
You're saying those were messages that were forwarded.
They were forwarded, yes.
And who provided them?
They were sent to you guys.
Josh.
It could be Josh.
No, Josh put them in the group.
Yes, he put them in the group just to sort of
throw it
in my face.
Right.
I have a theory on it. I have a theory that Josh told you to write that down, send it to him, and then he would forward it to the chat, making it look like it was from a listener.
That's not accurate.
No, it's a good theory, but that's something I would do to Jordan.
I do all the time. The other way around. Pictures. I take a picture. I send it to somebody. Actually, usually Jordan, because he'll usually help me going after somebody. And I'll say, send me the picture so I can forward it.
First of all, Josh told me, I know the source of those texts. And there was another one, Josh. What did it say?
I mean, there were a lot.
No, about me.
More specific. Jordan is the best, I believe.
I think it was like, what I was love it? Bass or something.
I love bass, yeah. I mean, look.
Yeah, I was really happy to hear that.
Jordan keeps it together. I will give him credit that
100%.
He does the homework.
Although, we did get a text last night. The texter will remain anonymous, a girl, who did say that I got a chance to shine, I believe. Jordan, were those the words that she used?
Yes, my wife said that.
I wasn't going to reveal that, but okay.
Do I usually talk over you? Is that what it is?
No, I think, look,
I think there are complaints that I talk over the guests. And mostly about my life.
I think we all talk over each other. We have to get better at that. But look, honestly, you were missed. It was not the same. It was a great episode. There's no question about it. But I think that without you here, it would not be the same pod.
Finally, the truth comes out. That's all I had to take. When I was leaving, it says, Yoel, you were missed. Sadly, we had to record without you. But this is the best we could do.
It's hard to say that and express that just because is like giving you what you need,
right?
Yes. When you shouldn't need it.
But I'm very needy.
I mean, you literally had a mental breakdown today about whether you were going to come tonight or not.
I'm a middle child. I was not the oldest. I was not the youngest. I was the middle child. Actually, just today, I was reminded. Can I give a shout out to Judy Knopf?
Sure.
Yeah, because my kid was telling me the prices for cleaning cars for Pesach. He's like, oh, I found someone to clean our cars. He's like, it's so much cheaper than somebody else. It's $40 for like a regular car, $50 for like a SUV, and $60 for a minivan. So I say, you know what? I remember as a child I did it. I borrowed, my father let me use the, we had like an outdoor vacuum cleaner. It was like one that could be used for like cars and stuff. So he allowed me to use it for free for a business. And I would charge $3 for a regular car, $4 for a station wagon, and $5 for a minivan.
Can I go back? When you say outside vacuum cleaner, do you mean a dustbuster?
No, it was really weird. I don't know what it was, like industrial something. It was weird because it was a vacuum cleaner like I can never see being used in a house. Uh-huh. It must be maybe it was from like the 60s. It was just like left around. It was just something that I was able to take out of the house with multiple extension cords. Anyway, Judy Knopf says, you're not charging enough, and she paid me more. So I still remember that. This is probably, I don't know, 45 years later.
You know what, by the way?
That
would have tracked because we talked about tipping, being a waiter. That's sort of kind of what you're
yes.
saying.
And
you remember that.
I remember that. I must have been, I don't know, 8 years old or 9 years old. The point is, if anybody's out there cleaning cars.
What's the relevancy?
Yeah, the relevancy is anyone's out there cleaning cars for $3, $4, or $5. You can reach me at, what's our Gmail account?
HardTalkChicago@gmail.com.
Thank you.
Should we read an ad? Because this is going off the rails pretty quickly.
What did that have to do with you being a middle child? You went into
because I had to, I had fended for myself.
Okay. And
I earned my own money.
No follow up.
I'll tell you that we have a lot more fun with you, that's for sure.
That's for sure. Okay. Keep your property safe and secure with Fight Surveillance. Our team of experts is dedicated to providing top-notch security solutions for industrial, commercial, residential properties, and gated communities. We offer a wide range of services that include the installation and maintenance of security cameras, access control systems, intercoms, and IT network setups. With Fight Surveillance, you can rest assured that your property is being monitored and protected at all times. Contact us today to learn more about our services and how we can help you keep your property secure. Text, WhatsApp, or call 773-266-0700.
Is that Yitzi Fight?
Mayor Fight.
It's one of them cleans countertops also. Did a great job when you were at my house.
Oh.
So recommended for
that
as well.
That's a free ad right there for him.
He was great.
Why can't you just wipe down your own countertops?
No, he has a special like machine he uses.
For Pesach?
For Pesach. Special, like it's a heating thing. It worked really well.
One of the people who sent in an ad that was recently read saw you, Josh, today and told you that he's had more business because of it.
He went up to me and Shul today and said he's gotten 2 clients since that ad. And that ad was only in our last episode. So kudos to you, Jordan, for reading it.
We were also told that we had one of our sourdough sponsors who had like a 10% discount if they use Hard Talk Podcast. Yes. And I was told that numerous people did use the discount code. And obviously...
Really?
Yeah.
I tried to use it twice and I was not allowed to.
The point is we're driving business.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to Josh's brother, Noah. We didn't bring this up on the podcast. I did want to mention it to Sheldon, but I was afraid that he would have no recollection and that would have been a bigger L for Noah in that Noah shared, I don't know if this is confidential or not, but that he rage quit one night.
Oh, I do remember. I wasn't there.
You weren't there.
He told me about it.
Yeah, he had enough, whatever it was, and like in the middle of the restaurant, he threw his stuff off and said, I'm out, I'm done.
And, what was his stuff, like an apron?
And he said that he was thinking that for sure, he was so proud of himself that for sure he'd get a call back the next day from the manager asking him to come back, and he never got a call.
Oh, that's great. All right, guys, I have a couple thoughts regarding our podcast. After listening to this latest episode with Sheldon, I noticed a couple things. First of all, oftentimes, Josh sort of, I don't know if he took my seat. Obviously, he normally sits in his regular seat, but now he was sitting in 2 seats. It's like Sheldon will go on for like 2-3 minutes saying something very interesting, and then you'll just get a wow. And then he like continues. Like, I think if you're going to be sitting in the seat, you need to add more than wow. I mean, I can go back and you probably count on every episode how many times Josh says wow. I think it'll be interesting for some of our listeners to go back and to see which episode he said wow the most. I bet you most often it's in double digits. I know, Jordan, do you feel that Josh overwows on the podcast?
Yeah, I you know, there are times where I do feel like he's dead weight sitting next to me. I don't know about the wow, though. Just not sure.
You have to listen back.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I mean, it was because it was the first time I listened to the show as a fan, and a big fan, that is.
That's fair. Jordan, what's the numbers on the Sheldon episode?
Off the charts.
Off the charts. Okay, I just want to put that out there.
Right. No, no. Understood, because what we built together, people want to listen, and I'm sure people probably listen to the end waiting for me to jump in, but well, you know, with some like memory I had from like 1986, but that did not happen.
Okay, Yoel, you've got some bad news to share.
Yeah, I got two. One more point before this. Before I share this,
trying to
news.
Move us along.
Yes.
Here.
Okay, so let's go. We're moving along. Also, listening back to oftentimes when I bring up one of my thoughts is what a normal co-host does is they sort of, you know, they hear the thought from their co-host and they comment, they question, they take it, you know, they move forward with it. You guys typically just look at each other and say, okay, and then just move on. So I think you guys really need to, you know, sharpen your skills as co-hosts, because what goes on in my brain is, you know, I don't like talking to people or being around people. I'm often deep in thought, and these thoughts are deep. And then you need to sort of question and elaborate.
Don't
do it, Jordan. Don't do it.
I don't even understand what you're talking about.
Jordan
sounds good.
Sounds good.
No. Or interesting. Interesting.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll give it a wow. Wow.
All right. So next time I'll point out we need – oh, I know a word we'll use. It was actually used in Idacron basketball. When a guy was down the court and he was open, so if you yell here, then everyone knows, like, okay, there's someone open in the other end of the court. But if you yell the word Oski, that means there's a guy open at the other end of the court. So when you guys do this again, I will give you a verbal hint with the word Oski.
Okay. Can we move on?
I'm cringing so much right now.
Oski. Okay. Oski.
You done?
Okay. Next.
By the way, for the Yoel fans out there, this is a big Yoel episode.
It is. Fan. It is. Fan. No. Fan. As my mother. Big
That's
fan.
Right. Okay.
Finally, we did hear from the BBC regarding the name of our podcast, and we received a cease and desist letter, so we're now moving on. We need to move on from this name to something name which really describes our podcast. Jordan, what would you say, if two words would you summarize? Actually, Josh, this is more of a Josh term. What would you summarize this podcast to be?
I mean, this podcast is fantastic. I don't know what you're talking about.
Nope, not what I'm looking for. Jordan?
Amateur hour.
There you go. Amateur hour.
I was waiting for you know, we did get into the right. details of the episode.
So the J3, I think, you know, Jordan, Josh, Jeremy, yep. J3 Amateur Hour podcast. I think it's a good name.
J3 I liked also just because it's two syllables.
Like and it's also Jaren Jackson Jr., so kind of goes both ways.
A great player.
Fantastic defender.
We'll get into the NBA soon. But now we're officially changed.
Rebrand has been completed.
Yes.
Rebrand. Also, especially because Josh messed up the last intro. So,
true. Now, Jordan, what's the new email address?
I don't have it yet.
Oh, was it hard to find an email on Gmail?
I forgot about it.
Forgot about it. Okay, good. So anyone that wants to send in ads, what should we tell them to do?
Use the old email for now. It's on my phone.
Okay.
It takes a while to set up.
We'll get a new email.
Okay. Yoel, I understand that our social media company, our marketing company, has reached out because of a little drama that happened this week.
Yeah, they reached out to us. We had a local self-proclaimed influencer, which I have a whole thoughts on that, if you guys want to hear my thoughts, unless you want me to yell.
Afterwards.
Okay, but we have a local influencer who was asking for suggestions.
FYI, there were air quotes on the word influencer, correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Influencer, because they, whatever, I have a whole thought on that also.
Got it.
But asking for podcasts to listen to. And many of his or her fans reached out to this said individual. And I was told even someone suggested our podcast. And the response was, what? They have a podcast? Like maybe LOL? I'm not sure if we're like, or ha ha ha. Maybe that person was unaware of our podcast, which I'm not exactly sure how. But then once that person was informed, later on, they showed a screenshot of different suggestions with around, 12 to 15 names of other podcasts. And not once was Chicago's very own. So, we're at war.
We're at war.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what was the follow-up? Because if I understand correctly, they later posted about
a full post dedicated to it.
Oh no, right.
How did that come about, Josh?
I'll tell you how. I'm not on Instagram, but I did get a people that mentioned that forwarded me the screenshot of all these podcasts being suggested without our podcast. That hurt. It hurt me deep. So I reached out to the person's sibling, who I know well, and I said, I mean, I won't reveal the exact words I said, but pretty much like, what am I missing here? You know, we have a podcast. You're a fan of the pod. What's going on here? So the person said that he's also not on Instagram, but he was also pained and hurt by the omission. And then next thing you know, the post was brought up, you know, giving us sort of our own little feature there.
Miraculously, or you think it was due to you begging the brother?
I really don't know. I didn't beg. I just mentioned that, you know, it was hurtful that we were not mentioned.
Jordan, how do you feel that?
I'm like, yes, it's incredibly embarrassing that Josh begged the person's brother to give us a shout out.
Here's the truth. I enjoy enemies. I mean, I don't enjoy people being enemies. Most people I see, I usually hate right away. And they're automatically an enemy until usually I meet them and I like them, unless they do something wrong. So
I'm willing to swallow my own pride in the name of this podcast.
Oh, I don't do that.
I don't
care. You don't care that.
No, I don't care how it looks. I don't care who I have to appeal to.
You wanted the publicity.
Yes. I wanted the ability to gain more followers via the post.
You sound like a man in sales.
That's fine.
Yeah, and not me. I would be an awful salesman. I have a very fragile ego. And I would never, ever be able to go back on it. I was too crushed. LOL. Probably three L's. So LOL.
The follow-up post mentioning our podcast, that didn't do anything to change your perspective.
No.
Person is still an enemy. Doesn't make up for anything.
I am extremely petty. And this is despite me trying to work on myself, doing some little namaste, little yoga practice on my own.
On your own?
In my house.
One-on-one?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
No, just in my house, just stretching and stuff like that, trying to get in the zone of being less petty, but I'm still tremendously petty. So, enemy.
So add the enemy to the growing list.
Growing list. We do have a growing list on our podcast.
Not my enemy, because she posted it, or the person posted it.
Josh has zero enemies.
Correct.
For the podcast.
Correct.
You have personal enemies?
Many.
Oh, okay. Are you just less sensitive because your love for the podcast?
I just feel like I don't mind lowering myself to try to gain momentum on the pod.
Right.
I mean, people can tell that Jordan probably does the most homework, when it comes to the podcast.
But not when it comes to finding an email address.
Yeah. Yeah, that he does not do. But he does a lot of homework, a lot of research. But I think Josh cares the most. I mean, I care the least and do the least. I mean, I'll admit
you
it.
You care the most, 100%.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Of course you care the most.
All right, fine. Yeah. My ego cares the most, but not about the podcast, about me. But anyway, I don't even know where I was going with this. But I'm saying Josh
You just took an L. After your L, you just took
an L. We have
a
growing list of enemies. Stay on track.
Stay on track. Stay focused. Yeah, we do. Although the company that we hired to do our marketing and our online, our social media, they still only have one enemy blocked on the podcast.
Okay.
Do I care to elaborate? No.
I don't think we need to reveal who that is.
No.
The person probably knows.
Yes.
Okay. Guys, very important. This past week, or was it last week already? Last week, Josh changed someone's life. The little backstory is this. I have an article here written by Mark Kay, who is an Australian Bulls fan and blogger that writes on CHGO, a website I had previously not heard of. I only know this individual because Josh goes back and forth with him on Twitter, I guess, but he's a completely kind of anonymous, irrelevant person, except for C-level Bulls Twitter.
Is this a sports like website or like is a blog?
It's a blog, but it's viewed by tens of thousands of people.
And how do you know that?
Because I get notifications.
How do you know tens of thousands of people?
I mean, you can see how many people viewed the every article.
I can't see this one, but Josh, you know what? I'm not even going to ask you for your perspective. I'm going to go right in to tell our listeners what this article is about. The title is "I'm a Bulls fan from Australia. Seeing a game from the first row in Chicago changed my life." Okay. The blog continues and talks a little bit about his childhood. He grew up in Australia. He grew up in the 90s, became a Bulls fan, followed the team from afar, has never been to America.
Do we know his age?
No idea.
He was born in 1987.
So he was probably a little young for that. Definitely. I mean, I don't even know if he remembers like the second three-peat.
Well, Jordan claims he was like at the game in 91 when you were two when they
no.
won.
No.
No? Okay.
I do not claim that.
That was the rated R movies.
Right.
He talks about his life a little bit and says, the morning of February 27th was different. Little did I know that a direct message would be waiting for me. It was from Joshua Rosen. I tangentially knew of Josh. We had never met or communicated in person, though we often sparred on Twitter. It was never serious or personal. More so typical arguments fans dive into when their team is falling below expectations. I certainly wasn't expecting to hear from Joshua. Before I opened his message, I assumed the subject of his note would be Nikola Vucevic. Joshua was not a fan of Vucevic on defense. I often countered. I assume our previously public debates were to resume, only this time via private message. My assumption was wrong.
All right, let me ask a couple questions about this. So why would you reach out to him? Like, did you know he was coming to town?
I did.
So he like announced in his article, I'm about to come to Chicago.
On his Twitter feed, he would mention the fact that he was coming to Chicago.
What does he do?
He does have a full-time job. This is sort of an aside from
him. Okay, so unrelated.
Unrelated to basketball.
So he's like you, a professional, and then he takes off his, he goes into his cape and he becomes a Super Bulls fan.
Exactly.
Okay, the message read as follows on February 27th. Mark, I know we have our disagreements here, but I actually go to every game. First of all, you don't. That's a lie.
That was lied. That was a lie.
I sit first row on the floor center aisle.
Whoa.
Must be nice.
Did you do that just to entice him?
I want to be clear. This was not publicly viewable. This is a private message.
But he has now publicly posted that message.
Yes. But obviously, according to this message, you really wanted to attend the game with this guy.
Correct.
No, I
did.
Right. Like you were trying to like bait him. You think you're going to buy like a $200 seat? You know,
I'm going to show you
how to enjoy the Bulls.
Yes.
Okay.
Why did you feel that way?
I just felt after, you know, debating with him on Twitter and, you know, just reading his tweets, he'd be someone that I'd enjoy going to a game with.
Do you feel like because he was like a celebrity in your mind or because you wanted him to be your new best friend?
He's a very knowledgeable fan. We disagreed on a lot of things and I just felt it. Plus I knew he never went to a Bulls game before. So I felt it was a good experience for him and a good opportunity for me to
get to
know.
Like, were you going to tour him around? Like, this is like where you buy like jerseys in this little like store here. Like, what part about it?
First of all, I wouldn't have to drive with him. So that's point number one. And I could just talk basketball.
Okay.
Which I like to do.
Jordan, continue. Okay. Sorry.
Continuing the message, he said, this is actually interesting, yo. Perhaps that's why I'm so frustrated with this team. I am able to get a different sense of the game from my seats. Do you actually believe that?
Yes, 100%.
Sitting the 10th row 100%. Versus the first row watching on TV.
Total difference, 100% difference. Because I've sat both.
The Bulls are awful. Everyone understands
I understand, but there is a different perspective
I've done both. I've been fortunate enough to sit close and watch on TV. The only difference is you just hear like the squeaking of gym shoes. That's about it.
Not true at all.
Okay. In any event, I would be happy to attend the game with you when you're in town. If you're interested, let me know and I can send you a ticket via email or text. You just need a Ticketmaster account to accept. So that was February 27th. He obviously accepted. He posts a picture of the tickets, so they're not fake. He got in. He was shocked. He was so excited. And then let me get to the part where he talks about Josh a little more.
So Josh, what did it reveal? I mean, you're obviously meeting this individual. So what did it reveal in your background check when you're meeting a total stranger? On your date, what did you find in his background check?
Hold on, I have to cut in here. I'm on the spot in the article. Joshua was as gracious in person as he was in direct messages. I tried to thank him for offering me a seat to the game. I fumbled through it. Words exited my mouth, but I'm not sure how I formed a coherent sentence. Perhaps you, the reader, are more articulate and better in touch with your feelings. Sometimes I can be. This time, I was overwhelmed. It was difficult. First of all, it sounds like you guys are falling in love.
Dating. It was a date.
It was difficult to explain to Joshua how a simple act of kindness changed my life. I think he got the sense of what this all meant once he realized this was my first trip to the United States and ultimately my first experience at the United Center. Now, you guys have a picture together. You watch the game together. It happens to be they played the Sacramento Kings, so I was in the crowd that night. Because my wife is from Sacramento. We went, we sit on the other side. I figured that during halftime, I would meet you guys. And I actually said I wanted to meet him at the kosher hot dog stand. You never came out.
Correct. Sounds like Josh.
What were you doing during halftime?
Well, it sounds like Josh was very protective over his date. I mean, would that be correct? Like you were worried that maybe he would find Jordan more interesting than you? Like, look at this guy. He has better insights.
That's valid. That is valid.
I actually didn't want to meet him. I just wanted to take a picture of him and Josh to make fun of later.
First of all, it's funny that I've gained 6 Twitter followers since that meeting. So well worth it.
You were at, 80 or so before?
I was 84. I'm at 90 now.
Okay, so I don't know, almost 10%. That's not bad.
And this pod has gotten me like 2 new followers. So okay. Joke's on you guys.
Okay, so tell us, talk to us about,
fair.
You are someone who's wary of personal interactions in general.
Not wary, I don't like them.
Okay, but yet you, with a complete stranger,
correct,
go to a Bulls game and you know this guy is going to be a crazy fan, super excited.
He was such a nice guy. Nicest person like that I've met in a long time.
Did you talk during the game?
No, except basketball. We talked basketball during the, plays, and he was making a lot of comments. And
would you guys like high five each other?
We hugged, I think,
in the beginning. I'm saying
like during the game,
like a bro hug.
Yeah, bro hug.
Bro hug. Yeah.
Let's say like during the game, like all of a sudden, like someone has a three from the corner. Are you turning like to your right or to your left to mark K?
No,
to give him a high five.
Because sadly, he did display a couple different times an amateur hour move by recording the starting lineups, which I cannot stand. But
first time.
So I gave him a pass. He got a pass for that.
Okay. Josh, I keep in mind, remember, I was sitting across on the other side. I spent probably as much time watching Josh and Marquet as I did watching the game. Now, the most alarming thing is that Josh is known to leave games early. Now, this game happened to be somewhat close.
Nail biter.
But at some point, it seemed like the Bulls didn't have a chance. And I started taking videos because I was zoomed in on Josh. And I was...
I mean, Josh has that sixth sense. Like, even when it's a close game and Josh is like, this game is over, I'm leaving. And he's always correct. Like, he's never left when they won. He's correct. Always like, they lost here. Like, I'm walking out. They're like, are you crazy? It's a 2-point game with 2 minutes to go. Like, believe me. Trust me. So... And obviously, they lost this game.
Even though it was probably one of the more exciting games of the season, I was completely honed in on the time and Josh sitting in his seats. I was videoing it the entire time, and I was surprised to see that Josh did not, in fact, leave.
I did leave early.
Okay, hold on. You left with 30 seconds left.
Yeah, that's early.
One second. That's not early.
DeMar hit a three or a 4-point play.
DeMar got fouled on a 3-pointer. It was a 4-point play.
I left before that.
Oh, before that. Okay, fine. All right. That's not bad. Because everyone else stayed. I mean, you probably got out no traffic.
Amazing. So the truth is I also walked to the concourse. I did not see that foul 3-pointer. Then there's like a huge screen, so we're all watching it. And then when they tied it up, everyone's going crazy, high-fiving, running back to the seats. And I turned to my wife and I just said, okay, there's 12 seconds on the clock.
Bunch of amateurs.
100% Sacramento's going to score here. De'Aaron Fox rolls up, just hits a jumper right in their faces, game over. So it was great. So
can I ask a question regarding the crowd going crazy?
I wasn't there.
Okay, but as a child, I always believed that the is it called a fanometer?
Yes.
I always thought that worked. It was like legit. Like I did it almost like...
Like it always went to the top when you were there?
Like when I was a kid, I'm like, oh, we got to push a little more. Like it's only 9.6. But it was the loudest you've heard the United Center?
Yeah.
Jordan?
I wasn't paying attention. Seriously, I have no idea.
But here's my one last question, Josh, because I mean, I'm just trying to picture. I mean, you're lucky enough to watch Josh. Josh, when, let's say it was a timeout and you guys would talk. Would you like face each other and talk, or would you sort of like look straight because you're sitting next to each other?
I'll tell you the truth is he was tweeting a lot. So
okay.
I was actually very happy about that because there was no real time to awkwardly talk.
Okay.
We would talk during the game, like if there was a play and he was like on his phone a lot tweeting. Right. Which I am fine with. So it was actually very pleasant.
So hold on. What about halftime?
Halftime, bathroom. We talked. He went to the bathroom.
I can imagine you going to the bathroom, going in a stall, and just standing there for 10 minutes just to wait until halftime's almost over. Just so you wouldn't have to interact.
We went at different times. So there was really not a lot of awkwardness. I enjoyed the camaraderie, enjoyed the conversation, and I was happy to do it.
And he gave you a shout out on his podcast.
He did.
Okay, let's get to the main, it's been a while, let's get to the main crux of this episode, and that is discussing Pesach.
Ooh.
Pesach is rapidly approaching. The emails are coming in about Pesach cleaning, about various preparations.
Any emails to the pod, or no, we don't have an email address anymore?
Well, we changed it.
Josh, stop asking
for the last minute. 4 minutes.
So, number one, what are you guys doing for Pesach? And then I want to go back and find out how you guys grew up spending Pesach. So what are you doing this year?
This year, we are home. The last couple of years, we've been in Orlando. Just the thought of having to pack, having to send stuff, order stuff, making sure you get a house, just the car service, the airplane, is just too much for me to stress out about. And then also, I have family coming in town. So,
and also, you have a brand new ginormous mansion.
No, it's 5 bedrooms, same as my old house, just a little older. It was built after.
Jordan, I'd like to know what's going on with the food. Is your wife cooking all of it? Or
yeah, most of it.
Really?
So it is some help.
That's not what I was told.
No, we're having a lot of help. I mean, some help, cleaning help.
Not only cleaning help.
Cut onions.
And you're hiring a chef.
No.
Next.
Is that a thing?
Not a chef.
Not a chef?
I have no. The truth is, I have no idea. That's the truth.
But it could be a chef.
I'm not in charge.
Somebody that's making the food could be considered a chef.
Sure.
Would you agree?
Sure, sure.
No one deserves it more.
My children are helping my wife, so you want to call them a chef?
Okay, hold on, Josh. Don't worry, y'all. We'll have our time with Josh.
Don't worry.
Okay.
We've already had him. We beat him pretty good.
Okay, hold on. I do want to say that one time.
Oh, we are home this year. To get back to that answer, we are home. All right.
Go ahead. Sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I will be going to New Jersey for the first days and then coming back for the second days, period.
Period?
Clean your house and all that. You got to do everything?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Are you going to clean your house?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a better question.
I don't know.
Yeah. Where are you going in New Jersey? Like at a hotel or something?
No, my wife's sister lives in New Jersey.
What are the sleeping arrangements? I mean, you're going with three young children.
Yeah.
Are you bringing a nanny?
No.
Really?
How you sleep? How many bedrooms you get?
Okay, I don't want to disclose like personal information.
I know, but
we're going to somebody's house. Okay, it's not my house.
How big it is not personal information.
No, it's comfortable, and we spend time with family. My in-laws come, we all go there.
You get 2 bedrooms for you and your family?
Yeah.
Okay. And your baby sleeps with you?
Yeah.
Okay. Josh?
First of all, I don't even know. So I'm not sure. I'm not a part of that conversation.
I would love for you to get there, and all of a sudden you see like your room with like 3 cribs in there.
I'm
like,
it would be
oh, Jordan,
issue.
Here's your room.
No way. Josh, you know what? I don't want to. Let's save it for later. Okay.
Let's talk
about Pesach growing up, because I think that will be a good transition to Josh's Pesach now. So, Josh, growing up Pesach, where did you go growing up?
Went to my grandparents' house for the Seder.
Where was that?
It was on Maplewood, which is a street that you've probably never been on. But it's
east of California.
East of California. And then they moved to Winston Towers. So we did the Seder there.
So you're always in Chicago?
Yes.
Okay. Nice. That's
then cool. When I got married, I was at my in-laws, but growing up, I went to my grandparents.
So always pretty local, right?
Yes.
I have a bit of a flex growing up.
I know you do.
I actually got paid on Pesach. Most years we were home, maybe a couple years, we were kids. We used to drive to Massachusetts from Chicago. You stay overnight. It was a 2-day drive. Actually, I always thought it was like a 30-hour drive. And then like nowadays, like you just Google it, it's like 12 hours. But for some reason, it was like a full 2 days. But we went to Springfield, Massachusetts. A couple of years, then you should be home. And then my mother had a friend who used to, I guess, run some of these Pesach programs. So my mother would like be like the on-site manager or whatever it was and in charge to coordinate everything. And then, you know, she had 3 boys. Happened, I think it was maybe 9th, 10th, and 12th grade, I believe, where I went and I was a counselor for the day camp. And I made, I believe it was $250 plus tips. And it was not a lot of tips.
Was this like an upscale program?
2 years. It was in the Ritz-Carlton in West Palm Beach.
Wow.
But however.
There's a while, by the way.
No, it is a while. It would have been nice to stay there, but we were actually put in a motel called the the Ocean Inn Motel, which was like maybe like a 10-minute, I don't know, 7-minute walk.
I think it's still there, actually.
So we would stay there.
How would you know that?
Because I've been to Miami and I've seen those.
No, it's not Miami. This is West Palm Beach.
Oh, then
nobody knows.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was actually funny as a child. Like my father, like he seemed like sort of upset about it, like before we go. Like, I don't know. Like we're going. Like I don't know. To me, it was great. Like I didn't really even notice the difference between the Ocean Inn Motel and the Ritz-Carlton West Palm Beach. So to me, like a room is a room, and it was a bed, and I don't know. It was fine to me. It was great, and I got paid. So $250.
That sounds great.
But there's even more.
Okay,
I won't say that. Do you want the...
I do.
Ask you. I actually manipulated...
That was the worst call. By the way, this Ask-y thing, the worst call of all time.
I was thinking to myself, it's never happening
like,
again.
What are
I'm
you
telling
talking?
You? When you put
that could
on
be a, your little joke.
When you put on Ace's uniform, you know what it means. Anyway, I actually convinced the head of the day camp and all the other counselors that there's really too many of us, and we only really have to like work one shift. Like instead of both being like 9 to 12 and like 2 to 5. I convinced them just, okay, I want you to just work one, it'll be fine. And then so I would just work it during davening from 9 to 12, and that was free afternoon.
The rest of the day free.
Yep. Vacation.
I'm happy we learned that.
Thanks.
Great. Wow.
And the last...
That was Jordan, by the way.
There's been no wows. And then last year was actually the Alexander, so I would play all day at the Eden Rock, playing like 3-on-3s and like their little basketball courts there. All
right, very nice.
Okay. Me?
Sure.
Okay. Growing up Pesach, I remember when I was very young, we were in Chicago. A lot of years we did spend in Florida. We spent a bunch of years going to Aventura.
Were you religious at this point?
Yeah. That's when
growing,
we...
Growing up?
No, when we started going to Florida... Yeah.
Like you kept Pesach fully?
Yes. So we would go to, my great grandparents had a place in Turnberry since it was built. So we used to stay there for Pesach. You know, there weren't a lot of people. First of all, it was all Syrian.
Was this
like all around? It was a big surprise.
Was this a program or this is like?
No, there's
just,
no program.
I mean, there's apartments. Like you stay at the apartments or whatever it was.
They had a condo there. That's so we would stay there.
Okay, sure.
And then for a bunch of years, because I think as we got older, we wanted to kind of be around friends. We convinced my parents, we rented a condo at the Seacoast. So that would be on Collins, I don't know.
50th, 49th,
something like that.
Seacoast Towers.
And that was always a lot of fun. You know, you had a lot of friends in the area. We used to obviously try to get into the Eden Rock and the Fountain Blue programs.
And the food was all catered?
No. I think my parents really grew up going to Florida a lot. So they know the ins and outs. And we used to shop and buy food and prepare. I think we'd go a couple extra days early. There's a lot of grocery shopping there, so we would make our own Pesach, but you know, you spend the entire day outside and there were a lot of friends around.
Does the thought of doing that like stress you out? Like let's say you do it now, like, oh yeah, we'll just go down to Florida.
Well, I was not a part of
any of
that preparation.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying like, do you think like your parents are stressed out? Like if you tell me like, oh yeah, we're just gonna go down to Miami, you know, the supermarket will probably be wide open.
Right.
I'm sure whatever my needs, you know, will be there. Like people are planning for Pesach.
Months in advance.
Like if you just show up and trying to buy like Pesach food, but I guess obviously, you know,
they
back
had it
then
planned
it
out. They had lists and stuff like that. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that another family friend that was always there with us sadly passed away this week. The father-in-law of a close listener and fan, Aaron Katz, was his father-in-law, Gary Elkins, passed away.
Sorry to hear that.
Earlier this week. So he was always a mainstay of that crew. And always a great time. So it was a lot of fun. And then at a certain point, I think as my sister got married, then they had kids and whatnot. And so we've been pretty local until I got married. And, you know, we either go to California or New Jersey to spend Pesach with family. Now, the moment we've all been waiting for. Josh, first, let's go back to the beginning. At a certain point, you started going away for Pesach. And you must have chosen a program for the first time at some point.
Correct.
Talk to us about that decision and where you went.
Well, let me just ask, to be fair, just to get a complete background. I mean, what did your wife do as a child growing up? Because obviously it's the two of you.
She...
So it was we're local.
Yeah, I think they were local.
Oh, local.
She didn't go away.
Okay, so local and local.
Yes.
Okay, now proceed.
What was the question?
At what point and what year did you go away to a program for the first time?
I don't remember exactly the year. It was probably like 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Around.
And where to?
The first program we went away to was actually Bonaventure.
The Bonaventure?
Yes.
Okay, and then what happened after that?
And then we went to a different program.
Who did you go with? When you went, it was just your
just
family?
Us. Yeah, I think my in-laws
parents,
were there.
Parents, in-laws?
Yeah, no, not my parents, my in-laws. And the next year we went to a very affordable program called, I forgot what it's called, it was in Valencia. It was like a very cheap...
Was the Bonaventure
Valencia,
affordable?
Spain?
Valencia, California.
Okay.
It was, I forgot the name of it, but we went there for a couple of years.
Was the Bonaventure affordable?
Bonaventure was...
That was a higher end?
That was like mid-tier.
Okay.
Mid-tier. And then after that, I went to a different program, which we have been going to for the past several years, which is also in California.
What's that called?
That's called, I don't remember.
Are you serious right now?
It's called Upscale Getaways.
Upscale Getaways.
Yes.
The name says it all.
Yes. And then this
And
year,
where is it located usually?
It is in San Diego.
San Diego.
Beautiful San Diego.
I was once in San Diego. No, I was. Actually for Pesach, but it was a different type of program. We were stuck in two like motel rooms.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you only went to Florida. Where'd San Diego come from?
That was one other time we went.
So you went to Florida and San Diego?
It was very affordable.
And Massachusetts.
And Massachusetts. Okay. And Palatine.
Okay. Let's not lose focus here. Josh, talk to us about Upscale Getaways. Why did you decide that program?
I decided it because of the speaker list. I thought it was an interesting array of political minds that I enjoy hearing. I love San Diego weather.
And who was really on that list, that political list?
Ben Shapiro was a big mainstay in the program. Dennis Prager. They had a band, Moshav band was there that I liked a lot. So I just felt it was sort of a vibe that I would enjoy.
Jordan, should we give everyone an opportunity to Google the prices right now for upscale
getaway? They definitely don't list them.
They did. I don't know if they did. Well, they're not having program this year. They took a year off because the hotel's being renovated.
Okay. Talk to us about upscale getaways. What kind of rooms do you get to accommodate your family?
Two rooms, regular rooms.
Just two regular rooms?
Correct.
Not like deluxe, suite, nothing like that?
Nope.
One second. You don't need it. You have four children.
Yes.
So what are the sleeping arrangements?
Three girls in one room.
Then you get to take
my wife with a boy in our room, yeah.
Always?
Always.
He doesn't get his own room?
No.
So your wife's on the cot?
It's not going as well as you thought it was. Is it Jordan?
Well, one second.
What else you got?
So who's going there? So it's you,
so it's my
your immediate family?
My family, my brother's family, my parents, and my in-laws.
So are you guys like the biggest family there?
No. Well, this year we're going to a different place, like I said.
So where are you going this year?
We're going to a place called Lasco this year.
Lasco?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Very famous.
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah. Where is it going to be?
It's in Miami.
Which hotel?
Turnberry.
Really?
Yeah.
At the hotel?
At the hotel.
A beautiful hotel.
I've never been. Looking forward to it.
You going
to
golf when either?
My son wants to golf, so we'll golf, for one day.
We send videos so we can post.
I'm not a good golfer.
Josh, talk to me about this because obviously you're very particular and the program that you go on has to also be particular. What is it that you're looking for? I know the speaker list a bunch of years ago, but at the end of the day, what is it that could turn you off and have you never go back again? What is it that you really enjoy about it? What do you do during the day?
I mean, I enjoy the overall speed in terms of it's not a lot of New York or East Coast people that come. It's a lot of West Coast folks, Midwest. It's a lot of just different random people, and it's a smaller program, so it's not a huge, you don't feel overwhelmed. The hotel is not.
Are you sure about that this year? Because normally it's on the West Coast, which is maybe why I would track West Coast.
Well, this year, I don't know what to expect this year, but
it's all East Coast.
Yeah, it's more on the modern side, which I also enjoy. And it just like, I don't know, just it seemed like it was a good fit for me and my family.
You know, it's interesting, Jordan. You know, everyone discusses what they're looking for Pesach, like gebrachs, not gebrachs, different type of kashras, hand matzah, machine. We have yet to hear Josh say anything about any sort of kashra.
Right, even the speakers, he's talking about political speakers, not, religious speakers.
Do they have a minion at these places?
They have a minion,
just making sure. Yeah. All right.
I mean, I attend.
What if like your brother, for example, he has a different preference in terms of where to go? He doesn't have a say in that?
Of course he does. We discuss it.
You discuss it?
Yeah.
And what you want, though, always wins out?
No, but I think we generally think alike in these types of things.
Do you have your swimming planned out?
For this year? Like, well, it's a lot of yontif, so it's going to be hard, but yes, I do.
Like, do you know where you're going to be swimming and what time? You have that planned out yet?
Not only do I have it planned out, I actually called to make sure that my room was close enough to the pool that I can make it to diving in time, yes.
Right, I would figure that. I mean, a lot of these people who, have these, not obsessions, but, certain things they have to do daily will, like, look into that before they go there.
Absolutely. What else you got, Jordan?
I'm stumped.
This is not going the way you thought it was going to go.
How much does it cost?
That's going to remain confidential.
No, another question could be like, when did you make these plans, and when was the deposit given? When are normal deposits given? When do you pay in full already? Or
no, I mean now I paid in full, yeah. But generally they go over like a 4 or 5 month period.
So did you already hit, like before Sukkot, did you know you were going here?
No, I actually, once I knew my upscale was not having a program, then I started really researching and I think we decided like in November. So about 5 months, 4 or 5 months ago.
How are you getting down there? You're just packing clothing? Is that it? Is that the only thing that's going down there? Well, in terms of anything else? Like, I don't know, like, are you just taking your suitcases out of the airplane?
Machine.
Besides that, I mean, your usual packs.
Nothing special.
Nothing for Pesach,
no,
nothing.
No.
And the airplane, you're just going to the airport with all your bags and taking it there?
As opposed to what?
A lot of people might travel with, like, I don't know, 25 suitcases and, for, 5 days of Shabbos and Yontif and, send down their
luggage. Josh has one suit. He's got those rugged brown dress shoes.
I won't even be. I'm not.
You know what I'm talking about, y'all?
Of course.
Wow. I'm not even. I don't think I've even checked in luggage. I'm going to do it all in a carry-on.
Are you bringing a tie?
Yes, one tie.
One tie.
Okay, so,
yes. Wait, how often do you plan on wearing this tie?
Once or twice.
Like first night?
First, no, because it's Seder night and I wear a kittel, so no.
Okay. First, not even the shul?
First day.
Like you're allowed to take off your tie after shul.
I know.
Okay, just making sure.
First day and probably like one of the last days.
Okay, just to sprinkle it in.
So tell me.
And everyone forgets that I wore it, so like, it doesn't look bad.
Paint the picture a little bit about, you know, a typical Yontif day. So you hit davening, you do your meal, and then what are you doing all afternoon? You know, obviously it's a long day. Are you sitting at the pool? Are you sitting in your room? Are you reading? What are you reading?
Typically, I would read most of the day.
Where?
Take a walk, read in my room. I read in one of the places where you can walk around.
Take a walk. Even though you're there with beautiful weather, you're sitting in your room and reading?
No, some of the time, not the whole day. Like, no, I'm not in my room, outside, like on the patio, like on the, you know, balcony.
Okay.
When you take a walk, do you walk by yourself?
Generally, yeah, maybe with my wife.
Do you make friends when you go to these places?
Hold on, hold on. Talk to me about taking a walk by yourself.
What about it?
What are you doing on the walk?
I'm just walking.
And to where? How far is this walk?
Just depends.
Is it like a planned walk? Like, let's put on our gym shoes and we're going to... By the way, it's gym shoes, not sneakers. So anybody...
Do you get any comments from your family when you say, hey, I'm going to go take a walk? What do they say?
I don't really announce it. I just go.
Do you just go?
Is this like a 4-mile walk? Or is it like just like 20 minutes?
I mean, like if it's during the afternoon, I'm not tired and I don't want to like just sit in one place, I'll just walk around.
Is it exercise or is it...
No, just like...
Just a clear...
The scenery, yeah. Okay. I don't know.
Is your absence noticed? Do you ever come back and they're concerned? Where have you been?
I mean, these questions are ludicrous. What does that even mean? I can't go on a walk? That's weird to
walk? No, I'm not saying you can't, but I'm just kind of trying to understand it a little more.
I don't know where you're going with this.
Can you answer the question, please? Do you...
I'm setting myself up for something. But what? Yes, I go for a walk.
No, but I'm saying, is your absence noticed?
I don't think so, no.
So they don't notice.
I don't usually announce when I go. I just walk. I just go.
And usually takes you how long? 10 minutes? An hour?
I mean, there's no set thing. I
understand, but on
why
average,
is it so weird to go for a walk?
On average, how long is the walk?
It just depends.
I know it depends, but on average.
15 minutes?
15 minutes, okay.
That's a short walk. That's like, that's like for your hotel room to like the ballroom.
No, like I don't know, I'll go to the front part of the hotel or I'll walk around to the back or I'll go
so
to
So it's an indoor walk. Down the hallway.
No, right. No. Some out. It's like the way this hotel. Well, I mean, again, we're not going this year, but in previous years, it was like a lot of outdoor spaces. I don't understand. I mean, this is a ridiculous question.
Do you typically leave the hotel grounds, or it's generally on the hotel grounds?
On the grounds.
On the ground, just walking around.
Correct.
Did you map out the layout of the hotel to which halls and all that?
This is like ridiculous.
What time does this walk usually take place?
Well, I think all of our fans, everyone's just trying to like vision Josh walking by himself, like down these long hallways.
I mean, I don't know. Like, if I have nothing to do with it, the day is long. Yeah. So,
okay, should we move on to the next question?
Please.
Okay, so what do you bring with you on the walk?
All right, here's my question. Do you make friends when you go to these programs?
Not really.
No?
No.
You don't interact with other families?
Once in a while, but not really.
One second. I just realized I was with you like 2 years ago.
You just realized? Yeah. I've been thinking about that from the beginning of this episode.
I was
with
Josh 2 years ago in Orlando.
Was it not fun?
It was great.
Great time.
But that was because of COVID that they didn't have the program.
Right, they had houses.
Correct.
So obviously it's very unique, different circumstance that we're not going
to have. Maybe my favorite Pesach was great.
But you wouldn't go back to Orlando. You wouldn't do it
again.
I don't
like Orlando, but the way that this program worked was fantastic.
Oh, so it was a program, even in Orlando.
Yes.
Well, you know what's funny, though? They had a program, but I was not part of the program.
Correct. He just stayed in the same area.
I happened to, like, booked a house with, like there's, like, 20 houses around me on this, like, one, like, private street. And all those houses were part of the program, and somehow we got, like, a house across the street from the show, so we were there. But you know what's interesting? I never saw Josh walking.
It was too hot. It was way too hot.
Okay. What would it take for you to not go on a program?
I don't have to go on a program. No, not at all.
So what if I said next year, hey, we live a couple blocks from each other. You want to both stay around for Pesach and we'll do a couple meals together? You would do that?
I mean, it would depend on the circumstances.
Does your wife have a say?
But, of course, yeah.
Sure. She have more of a say than you?
Equal.
Okay. And Noah's equal?
Correct.
Also?
Correct. A lot of equals.
What about Noah's wife?
She has no say.
Okay. Just three of you. So you don't make friends with these programs?
No.
Yeah, I mean, you had like, when I was there, you didn't talk to a lot. You talked to your brother.
I did make a great friend in the last year, though.
Who was that?
Eitan Zephrin.
Oh, yeah, great man.
Great man.
Did you meet him on Twitter or
actual program? We met at the program. I mean, I knew who he was, but I never really talked to him until the program. It was great. He's a great guy.
Is he going back
him
with
and
you
his,
this year?
Him and his wife, great people.
Is he going back with you this year?
He's not. His wife's pregnant, so he has to stay home.
Shout out. Do you have any trips planned? I mean, you're going to be in Miami. There's a lot going on there.
Zero trips planned. No, because there's a water park there. So my kids are going to the water park, and I'm just going to be doing nothing.
Do your kids want to go to the water park? Like, is that something that
doesn't matter?
No, that's what I'm asking, right? Or is this just like you decided, like they're going there for 3 days? Or
yeah, I mean, even if there is anything offered, I'm not going. I'm not leaving.
Are there trips in these programs? Like
generally, yes. I don't know. This is my first year, so I have no idea what the options are.
Having gone to Aventura for many Pesachs, I have some suggestions.
Please.
Okay, number one, Aventura Mall is a great mall.
It is a great mall.
A great movie theater. In fact, I remember one Pesach, must have been 1999, we saw American Beauty as a family.
Really?
Yes.
Never heard of it.
It's kind of odd. But
did we ever talk about that other movie that we were supposed to all watch?
Talented Mr. Ripley? No. Yoel.
The truth was...
He can't get into his Amazon account.
Yeah, I don't know how to get into my Amazon account. And it's not from lack of purchasing items on Amazon. But somehow my wife has like the login on her phone and she doesn't know how like the password thing works. So there's no way for me to get like on a TV or log in and watch it.
There is a button you can press that will show the password, like not, so it's not blocked. You can actually see the letters.
But I don't even know if we're at that point yet.
Yoel has access to Netflix, right?
It's not Netflix.
I know, but I think we maybe have to pivot and talk about Waco next episode.
I actually watched the first episode.
That's
last
great.
Night.
Just FYI.
Can we talk about the first episode?
Well, sure. Can I just first say that I did not enjoy Talented Mr. Ripley upon rewatch? I didn't like it at all.
By the way, you liked it the first time? You liked it before?
It was okay, I sort of remember, but I was like...
I was never interested in your thoughts. I just kind of wanted to talk to Yoel about what his...
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the movies don't like age well. Like, it was like, wait, I can't really like this.
Never a movie that I would have thought
to
watch.
Can you at least agree that the first two-thirds of the movie are way better than the last third?
The last third's awful. But yeah. The movie itself, I'm not a fan.
Okay. So that was a big miss. But Waco.
Most movies like that. Yeah. Most movies just like, we have a good idea, but we don't know how to end it. So like, it's good for like the first half. And then like, okay, we have to somehow like wrap this up in 2 hours. And then it just becomes an awful movie.
It's an interesting take.
Okay.
That's how movies work.
Keep in mind, Waco, you guys obviously remember way more than I do. I was only 4 years old and I learned about it at a much later age that this, you know, incident even happened. And I've previously seen, you know, whatever shows or documentaries about it, but it's been some time. So it is kind of fresh, you know, watching it for me. So I watched the first episode as well. I'm in the middle of the second episode. There's a lot to unpack. The fact that a postman was really what set off this tragically murderous raid is the wildest thing. And that is because a cameraman was tipped off, was driving, couldn't find the compound, and pulled over and asked a post guy, a mailman, where it was, and he said, ATF is coming, and this guy turns out he's like deep in this, you know, Koresh cult, and drives back and tips them off, and they arm themselves.
I mean, that was number one. You sort of have to understand during the time. I mean, I vaguely remember it. But during the time, you know, there is no internet, so everything is either, you know, magazines or newspapers and the news. And everybody at the time was spinning it that the ATF was on the right and they were the good guys, and then the bad guys was the Davidian compound, and, you know, they were being, you know, held hostage or whatever.
This doc tells the truth.
Well, a lot of them, even there was other Waco, you know, episode or whatever documentaries, you know, about this, you know, with actors and all that, not, you know, the actual, you know, film and clips. But, I mean... For, you know, back then, you know, the entire discussion was like that the ATF was in the right, and, you know, there were four people that were killed, you know, because they were fired upon. But, you know, no one, like, only now or years later, you know, with the internet and all that and research and posts, like, there's actually another side, you know, to the
story.
Well,
I don't think that there's any question that the ATF was objectively right. I mean, clearly they were doing illegal things. There were illegal weapons. I mean, when you have this type of situation,
right,
there is the fear that there's going to be some type of mass suicide event,
sure,
or some type of, you know, danger going on. And there are alleged things that were happening at the compound. It was the way they went about it that was wrong. Right?
Also, it's still unclear who shot first. Even the doc didn't really fully
No one knows.
Explain it right.
I mean, so you're going to hear from both sides, right, obviously. But I think at the end of the day, the fact that the biggest loser in the whole thing was apparently, I want to hear more about, I don't know if it goes into it, but there was an undercover agent that was part of the Branch Davidians that immediately when the post guy says they're coming, he gets out of there,
right,
goes to a safe house and tips them off and says, guys, like, you can't go in. They know and they're heavily armed and they didn't heed his advice.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Who do you find yourself pulling for? I mean, how many episodes have you seen?
Koresh,
so far?
100%.
Yeah, I'm watching.
I'm with Jordan. Yeah. Especially when I'm like unaware of a lot of this stuff, and then all of a sudden they're like, they have this tower, you know, at the top,
yeah,
and they've got this machine gun with armor piercing right. bullets. I'm like, let's go.
And they see it, and I don't know if you got this point where like they see it come out and then come back in, like this big machine gun. He just like, first of all, he gets.
How many episodes? Have you seen the whole thing?
I'm on the third.
So okay. How many episodes are there?
There's only three.
Oh, okay.
Don't spoil the. Okay, I mean, okay. I obviously know, like, it,
you know what happens.
Pretty tragically, right. But right now, Koresh is wounded, and I'm like, yeah. Is he going to die? Is he not? I really don't know at this point. But yeah, I mean, the guy was
like, I feel
sick
like
sick and ruthlessly evil, but also heroic in terms of leading his sure. pack.
Right.
Like, you know, stuck his ground, you know?
I think a lot of these documentaries like want to get you sort of pulling for Koresh and like the people inside, and they're just, you know, wanted to, you know, serve God their own way and just not be bothered. But, you know, my mind is telling me go for the ATF. But, you know, like the heart, like
your heart wants Koresh.
It feels like, right. I mean, it feels like it's playing for Koresh, but that I'm just trying to, you know, like, you know, over, you know, root for the good guys. You know, it's like, you don't know which team to go for.
Right. What's fascinating about this documentary is I'm sure others have had it also, but they've got a couple of these ex-Branch Davidians that are interviewed and you hear their story, and also some of these ATF agents who are wild. It's pretty cool. I mean, but even these people, I don't know, they're not really talking so badly about David Koresh even 30 years later.
Right. Well, that's one thing. You also see how the ATF, when they got the Branch Davidians out, they put him in jail, which was, how stupid can you be? Like, why would they come out now?
Okay, I'm not up to that
yet.
Oh,
sorry.
So, you know, come on.
You just ruined it.
They're little by little getting hit.
Wasn't that the first episode?
And in jail? There's no jail.
Oh, okay.
No.
My bad.
But thanks.
Yeah, I won't watch it now.
We should probably like put out like a warning.
Disclaimer.
Yeah, so people wait for spoilers.
Okay, Josh, take me back to the San Diego compound. Do you, during Holomoid, like at night, do you do the activities that the place is having? And if so, at what point do you leave to go upstairs and go to sleep?
And are you a big fan of Mordechai Shapiro?
Wow. another wow. Yeah, you're right. I do it a lot. I am a big fan of the activities because it usually revolves around music, and I'm a big music guy. So these are concerts. No, they have Moshav. No, they have a couple years they had Shlomo Katz, Nissim Black. What about your guy?
What's his name? Who's the big Israeli pop star?
Yishai Rebo?
Yeah.
They have not had him.
No? I'm surprised you don't go to a program where he performs.
He's actually in, I think, Cancun this year. I don't know.
Did you think about going there just because he was going
to
be there?
No, because I've seen him enough. Like, I wouldn't revolve it around him, although I would love to see him.
Have you ever met him?
I have met him, yes.
Have you shook his hand?
Yes.
Would you invite him to a Bulls game?
Probably. I think it'd be cool.
You want to send him a DM? Hey, I know you're coming to... I mean, last time you sort of helped coordinate, you know, when he was in town, but maybe you sent him like a DM, inviting him to the Bulls game?
He probably would not respond to a DM for me.
Okay.
You wouldn't?
No.
Okay. Well, anyways, we are having a big guest next episode. I hope people enjoy it. And that would be, should we spoil it?
No. We're not going to spoil it.
Don't spoil it.
It will be teased.
The next episode you'll have the J3 Amateur Hour podcast.
That's right. Yes. And you'll tell the company to maybe tease it on the Instagram, y'all?
Sure. I can throw it out there.
Okay. And then we're lining up some more guests. Maybe get a couple in before Pesach. Hopefully. I don't know. Maybe we'll have one to release over Holomoid. And then we'll see.
And then maybe more information about Josh's walks.
Right. Yes. And we'll have to have a whole episode just recapping.
Yes. I do plan to go on walks again. Yes. Jordan, play some music.
Guys.
Play us out.